We have a team now. I feel like Phil Rowe. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we got a posse. So who's in this posse? Well, we've got Phil Minot, Cambridge-based photographer. Morning, Phil, and a good friend, member of the team here at Cambridge 105, and Natalie Free. Good morning, Natalie.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you too. And Phil, how have you been doing?
Very well, thank you. Yep, the seasons are still changing. It's getting lighter in the mornings, which is great if you're out early with a camera. And, of course, the evenings are starting to sort of pull themselves out a little bit as well. So, yeah, it's becoming good photography time all round.
So when you're a professional photographer like yourself, and obviously you're busy all the time doing commercial work, do you ever get up and, just because you love photography, think, it looks great out there, I'm just going to go out and take some pictures just because I want to take some pictures?
Yeah, every morning I set myself this thing. I go walking with the dog early morning.
Yes.
And then it's great because it means I sort of take a shot for myself, which I Instagram or social media. But it's really for myself. And it's almost like a good therapy because you sort of go back to your basics.
Yeah.
And you're looking to take a simple picture, simple composition, and then obviously you get on with your day's work and everything gets complicated and bogged down with all sorts of things.
That's your downtime. So your dog, by the way, who you mentioned there, because I've seen some pictures of your dog, but he's greyhound, isn't he?
He's a Saluki.
Oh, right.
Rafferty.
Yeah, just showing off my knowledge of dogs there.
Yeah. He actually loves listening to Cambridge 105 as well.
Does he?
Yeah, apparently.
Only when you're on, though.
Well, apparently, yeah.
What's his name?
Rafferty.
Rafferty. Hello, Rafferty. Will he be getting excited now we're talking to him?
He will now you've mentioned him.
Well, we'll play him a song in a minute. Maybe we should get people to email in, you know, ideas for songs for Rafferty, who's Phil's dog. And sitting next to you there, there's kind of a connection because, Natalie, welcome. Your area of photography is wildlife, isn't it?
Yeah, wildlife and mostly equine photography.
Right, now, obviously I know equine equals horses. So tell us, we get into a lift together and we're going up to the third floor and you've got what's called your elevator pitch, which is from the ground floor to the third floor. You've got to tell me in 30 seconds what's an equine photographer then.
Oh, it's probably as complicated as photographing children. They can be in sports mode or portrait mode, any form of mode, and they don't help you. You've got to be very patient.
And how did you get into it?
I've always been horsey. I work in the horse industry in polo.
Right.
And it's sort of my other passion as well as photography, so putting the two together always made a lot of sense.
And how do you know Natalie, Phil?
Well, I know Natalie because, despite my youthful looks, her granddad, I was apprenticed to her granddad, who was a Cambridge-based photographer, Michael Manny, who a lot of established Cambridge people would have heard of.
Yes.
And that's how I first started. And then Natalie came along on one of my photo workshops, so what goes around comes around, I guess. But actually, I think Natalie's being a little bit modest there, because the thing about anyone who specialises within in a field of photography is you really have to know your subject. So if you're, say, a football photographer and that's all you do, you really have to know that inside out. And it's the same with equine. If you're photographing horses, you really have to understand how horses behave and obviously how you can behave around a horse and what's expected from you from within the industry. Many times when I was an apprentice and used to get sent out to Newmarket doing stuff for the Nationals for Mike, you'd get reprimanded when you got back and you sent your pictures to the sports desk, because none of us realised that Sporting Life actually wanted a picture of a horse with his ears up, because yes. that apparently says it's a healthy horse.
Happy horse.
Happy horse. Pointed ears are happy. Ian, your ears are pointed.
So is Newmarket somewhere that you spend a lot of time? Is that where the equine photography happens, or is there more to it than that? More places?
More places. I mean, I'm based just in Lode, which is just off Newmarket, which is where all our polo happens. And then I'm also, I travel around, go to Newmarket a bit, everywhere. Really.
And presumably, do you ride yourself, or do you just photograph?
Yep, I have nearly four horses of my own. I play polo and play a sport called horseboarding.
Really? Horseboarding? Does that involve going to the mountains and riding a horse down on a board in the snow? No?
Not quite, but close. We pull someone along on a mountain board behind a horse as fast as we can go normally.
Wow. So where do you do that?
All over the country. We go to shows and we've started doing a few international events as well.
Really? And these four horses that you own, we should name check them, because we've mentioned Rafferty, Phil's dog. What are your horses called?
Okay, one's called Jock. He's an ex-racer. Cabecita.
Sounds posh.
She came from Argentina. She's cabbage for short. Jaffa and Jasmine, who are brother and sister.
Wow. And do you look after them? Because presumably you keep them stable. There's a lot. I've got a friend of mine, Sasha, who may be listening. She may not. He's got a horse called Boo. And I know she gets up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to go and feed him and things like that. Do you have to do that stuff?
I'm not quite that much of an early bird, I won't lie. Because I work with them, my whole day's spent around them. So I think we've got 24 horses in at the minute.
Really? So are your family connected with the business, as it were? Obviously, your grandfather, Phil, mentions a photographer. Have they got a connection with horses as well?
No, not particularly. I was the black sheep of the family with horses. My mum used to be terrified of watching me ride. And now she comes to all my events and watches me gallop round. So it was something that I got into myself with a lot of help from my granddad, actually.
And how do you move the horses around? Have you got your own horse box?
Yep, I've got my own little lorry to help get us about.
And you have to have a special licence to drive that?
Not this one. It's 3.5 ton, so just a normal car licence.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about the process of photographing the horses. Who are you doing this for when you're working?
So there's all sorts, to be fair. So horse owners that just have their own pleasure horse. And then I do a lot of the polo photography, which then involves multiple people in an actual tournament. So it's all walks of life that might have a horse, and also dog photography. You know, most of the country are dog owners. I do a lot of that as well. So it's open to everyone.
And Phil, is this an area that you particularly are involved? Obviously, the horse thing is quite specialised. Is this area of photography?
No, I'm not terrified of horses. Ironically, Philip means Greek, I think, isn't it? For lover of horses or something. And I'm terrified. And I think that's because I used to have to go photograph them at Newmarket, as I mentioned. And if anyone's been out on the heath at Newmarket when two different training stables meet for the morning walk, and the horses realise that they are the competition, and it's quite scary if you're stuck in the middle. And I just think, like, you know, particularly animals, a little bit like photographing children. Not that I'm saying children are animals, but it's you really have to be into doing it to get great shots from it.
Yes.
And I think that's the whole thing about photography. You have to decide, this is the thing I want to specialise in, especially now, especially for Natalie's generation. If they want to succeed in photography, there's less and less staff jobs for general photographers happening, and people are becoming, I feel, more specialised. So that means we're having an industry where there's a lot more what you might call semi-pro people who have two professions, and they use their pro photography thing is like something they do alongside the other thing.
Yes.
Fauna and flora, for example. Now, everyone takes pictures of fauna and flora.
Yes.
But the thing is, how many of us actually know which plant is interesting? You know, is it because it's got a disease, so people want to use that picture in their specialist magazines?
Yes.
Or is it because it's a rare sort? So that's another field where you have to become a specialist and focus. It's actually a little bit like, if you think about Cambridge 105 here, the daytimes are very general, the programmes, great, you know, good listening for people. The evenings becomes more specialist, doesn't it? And
indeed,
all our presenters tend to be a lot more specialised in that genre of music.
Yes.
Because if they're not, the listeners who are listening to that programme will soon catch them out.
Yeah, I guess so. So presumably, if you're in the field that you're in, Natalie, you know, you are. Would you be fairly well known around this area as one of? Is it competitive? Are there lots of people doing what you're doing? Or
there's a few. I'm lucky that a few of my close friends also do it, and they're very encouraging, and we share tips and things with each other, and always help each other.
So what would be, just widening it out a little and talking as Phil was saying there about photographing animals, for people who are not professionals, are there any easy tips you can give people that maybe they wouldn't have thought of but actually might help them get better pictures?
I think the most important thing is to find something that you are passionate about taking pictures of, because there's no point unless you enjoy what you're taking pictures of. No, I mean, there's so many ways to learn. You can go to workshops like what Phil does, and then there's basic YouTube videos and everything.
So have you been to any of Phil's workshops?
I went to one probably about five years ago.
Moving on, back to photographing horses. What I would say is, is the other thing is about, you know, it's time.
Yes.
And the more you get to know your subject, then obviously the less time you'd need to watch your subject to take your pictures. So if you were photographing cross-country running,
yes,
and you knew the course well, you'd know where to be and you'd know at what point in the race you would be ahead. You know, the field would break, so you know where to be for those pictures. A little bit like there's Graham Watson is a British photographer who has spent the last 2-3 decades photographing cycling. Racing around the world, the professional tour.
Yes.
Well, he was way before the pre-Sky days. He was considered by, you know, the French and the Italians and the, you know, the real traditional cycling things as the best cycle sport photographer. And that's because he'd had experience as a semi-pro cyclist at a certain level. So then when he took his camera up, when he retired, he could read the sport, he can read the race. And it's a little bit like that thing, I guess, if you're photographing a horse event, you know, you might think that's a good picture, but if by going standing there you're going to spook the horse and upset the judges, then obviously your career is not going to be very long. So it's one of those things, I think, particularly in sport, you have to know the politics around that sport.
Yes.
And you also have to know people to get access into that sport.
Yes, yes.
So if, to go back to Graham and the cycling, so if he's... If there's a breakaway from a peloton, he will know from his experience where to get his motorcyclist, you know, the pilot of his motorbike. He's sitting on the back of his camera. He'll know when to tell his motorcyclist when he can brake for it and when he needs to clear off up the road.
Yes.
So it's all those understanding what you're doing. And the other thing is, one of the reasons why I asked Natalie to come in today was because she's doing this great fundraiser thing she's decided to do for East Anglian Air Ambulance.
Oh, right.
Which she's been very modest and she's not telling you about.
Sorry.
Go on then, Natalie.
Well, I've always mostly done my photography free for friends and family, and a friend of a friend came to me asking for a photo shoot of his dog, which I refused money for. So he came up with the idea of donating it to a charity instead for me. So I chose the East Anglian Air Ambulance because being horsey, they help us quite often, let's face it. And also the British Heart Foundation for my granddad's. So all proceeds for all the photo shoots will go straight to the charities.
Oh, that's a lovely idea. So how's that going to work? Tell us what people can do to get a picture taken and make a donation. How are you running this?
So I currently have a Facebook page called Natalie Free Photography.
Right.
Which is probably the easiest way to get in touch.
Can I just say the free is the surname and not what she's...
go on, Natalie.
And then we're going to set up a Just Giving page to keep a track of what we make easier, that will go straight to the charities, no in between. So the best way is to get in touch. We can take pictures of people, horses, dogs, anything really.
But you've got a particular passion for and expertise in...
horses.
Horses, yeah. And animals and things
animals
like that.
Especially.
Okay, so that's Natalie Free Photography on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then they contact you and you will then get in touch with them.
Yeah,
and
we can organise.
Sort it. So of the kind of things that you do around horses...
Yeah.
What are your favourite sort of settings and places to take pictures, or what are your favourite events?
I mean, sports are really fun and action-packed, and I think they're moments that happen once, so you can only capture that moment once, you know, when someone's scoring a goal or riding off in a polo match. So I really, really enjoy getting those exact moments, but there's also, like, I think owners and their horses can make some really special pictures... because, like dogs, they mean so much to us that it's just a little keepsake.
Well, yeah, that's true, isn't it? And I suppose because pets, they're not with us forever, are they?
Yeah.
And people get very attached to them and very sad when, sadly, they're not here anymore. At least if they've got a nice picture, they can look back on that, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, I took a picture of a dog at polo and it was put down 2 weeks later.
Yes.
And I've sent it to the OMA. This was free of charge as well.
Yes.
And it's... You know, it meant very much to him.
Yeah, which is lovely. So what's your next big assignment? What have you got coming up?
Well, I'm waiting for the weather to improve. I still do the polo weekly, but I've got a photo shoot coming up in Ely when I get some sunshine. And then all over the place, really. Norfolk a lot.
What are the, of all the animals that you've photographed, what are the most difficult ones to take pictures of?
It depends. I think animals are like, when they say never work with animals or children, I think they probably are correct. So animals in general can just not cooperate at all. And I think you've got to just not have a set amount of time when you're doing photo shoots involving animals. Give yourself the day, because anything can happen.
And if somebody wants to sort of practice, maybe they're just generally interested in photography, you want to try taking some pictures of animals, I suppose good places to go would be a farm or a zoo or somewhere like that, would it, where you're going to get lots of animals?
Yeah, I think actually probably one of the best starting places are, because the thing about animals is, as Natalie mentioned earlier, is about movement.
Yes.
And one of the best places to start, really, is to go along to your local duck pond and sit and study the ducks there.
Yes.
Because you're going to capture something, and you can soon work out their rhythms and where they're moving and not to.
Yes.
And then perhaps slowly advance your way up to the guinea race at Newmarket, perhaps over a year or so. Because the thing is, it's also understanding what your camera can do. So you can... The main tip I'd say to people, if they want to photograph their pet and they want a different shot, is whether you're doing it on your mobile phone, your compact camera, or your upmarket digital SLR, I think the thing to do is, just move a camera with the animal as they're moving.
Yes.
And you get some nicely what we call panned effect, which is if you're keeping your camera in rhythm and lined up with the animal as it moves, as it goes around, so you're panning the camera around with the animal walking in the frame,
yes.
Then what will happen is, in theory, the background will be blurred and the animal will be basically in focus. You might get a little bit of movement on the paws and the ears and bits like that, but the main part of it, just keep the eyes, just move your camera in time to where the eyes are. And that's a very good starting point to get a pitch where you look at it and say, yeah, that's a pitch and not just a photograph.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's a really good tip, Phil, actually. So, and that's what it's all about. So, do you know something? We're out of time. We've been chatting away for about 20 minutes here, but it's been lovely to meet you, Natalie. Give us that Facebook page again if people want you to take pictures, particularly of animals, and they make a donation and it goes to the East Anglian Air Ambulance.
It's Natalie Free, FRWE Photography.
Excellent. OK, well, listen, it's been lovely to meet you, and nice to see you again, Phil. And you'll be back, Phil, in about a month's time.
I'm looking forward to it already.
OK, beginning of March. And as we go, the weather will steadily improve. And Natalie, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to keep up this this kind of relevant song after the interview, but I believe this is the right song to play after this chat we've been having. I don't know whether... You're a lot younger than Phil and me, so you might not know this song, but this is the one.